Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Podcast. We're helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Craig Guzman. When I tell you, I love his whole story because he's going to be sharing with us today how we can escape social awkwardness. Now, y'all know for me, I never met a friend. I never met a stranger. But I will tell you, I have worked with a lot of people who have. And I remember as being a teacher in the classroom, being able to touch those kids who were feeling like they were being isolated out because they didn't feel like they fit in. Or the kids that felt like they didn't have a voice. And I remember for me, I would say, I want to be that person. Well, y'all know what? I found him today, okay? Mr. Craig is the one. I am looking forward to him coming on and sharing his good stuff with us. Let's take a moment. Let's welcome him, welcome him, welcome him. And the first question I want to give is, what's your story?
Well, the name of my business and my company is actually Escaping Social Awkwardness. So what I'm on a mission to help people do is actually the name of my thing. So I do something a little different, right? I'm a people skills trainer. My formal certification that I got through an organization called the Science of People is that I'm a body language trainer. But really what I do is I help people understand and implement the unwritten but very real rules about how we interact as people.
I have to say, I love that you literally teach people skills. I feel that that's so important because I feel like for the last couple of years, we've lost that. We've all been kind of behind screens.
Well, here's my story. Okay, so I grew up in a military family, so I moved, and I moved a lot. So every time my father got a new job, even if we didn't move and we stayed in the same area, I got to make new friends. So I learned to be friendly and get along with people at a very early age, but not really to make deep connections with people. Then my dad retired from the service and we moved to New Hampshire, and I went to junior high school and high school there. And I had lots of acquaintances, but not very many friends. I was that socially disenfranchised kid. Here's how I felt in social situations. Have you ever walked into a meeting or a class in school where you got there, you know, 5-10 minutes late, and you spend the rest of the class trying to figure out what you missed and catch up with everybody else? That's really how I felt socially.
Wow.
So I figured out that how bad I actually was because I was working for a company in San Diego that I wish I still work for, but they lost their government contract and most of us got laid off. But I was working on developing training material for young people in the company that they wanted to stay and that they saw leadership potential in. So I took a DISC survey. You know what that is?
No, please share what that is. A DISC survey?
It's actually a personality survey. And it looks into how we interact with other people. And I discovered that I was really bad at it.
Whoa. Okay.
Well, like anything in life, right? The key to getting better answers is to ask better questions.
Yes, I agree.
So once I figured this out, I'm like, okay, so now what do I do with this? And because I was spending a bunch of time looking for training material, I was in Udemy and I ran upon an organization called the Science of People, which is run by Vanessa Van Edwards. And I actually took her class called People School, which was for me. So not only did I take that class, I don't think they offer it right now or anymore, but they actually had a follow-on class to teach you to use their material to teach other people.
Oh, okay.
So that is what I'm on a mission for right now. And the people that I really want to serve is socially disenfranchised young people. Okay, so people getting ready to get out of high school, young people headed off and headed off to, or young people starting college, or young people getting ready to get out of college who don't have job interview skills. Young people right now are at a really big disadvantage. I mean, the advent of anti-social media has not helped them any.
I totally agree.
So they spend time talking to people that they think are their friends who often really are not, but they don't actually learn how to have a positive interaction with other people.
So can I go back for a second? Because I'm hearing you say this, and I'm just thinking about the impact that COVID has had on so many people, and us kind of being locked up. Well, I should say locked up, or in a lockdown, or behind screens, or not really being in the school setting, or getting out of the school and being more social. How can we deal with this? Like, this has to be something that
We have an epidemic starting here. There was a teacher at the end of the school year last year when kids actually went back to school in California, who ended class early on purpose. And she said, okay, all of you, put your phone away, your iPad away, your computer away, whatever you're using for to take notes here. He said, you know, you're surrounded by people that you haven't seen in a year. Have a conversation with them. Reintroduce yourself.
Yes, I like
that. And some of the kids couldn't do it.
Whoa.
Well, Instagram last year actually ran a survey, and I kind of shook my head about it at first, but I'm like, why would people have an incentive to lie? It doesn't cost them anything, right?
Right.
Did your social skills suffer during the pandemic? And the number was like 86% of people admitted that their social skills had suffered during the pandemic. There's another story that I tell that my wife and I'm in Southern Idaho, but we went to Boise. And we were sitting in traffic because everybody sits in traffic as soon as you get to a city, right?
Yeah.
But there was a suburban sitting next to us with seven young professional women in it. They were probably in their late 20s, early 30s. With seven women in this vehicle. And six of the seven were actively on their phones tapping on the screen. I could not imagine how seven young women could be in a car together and not actually have a conversation. And my wife brought it to my attention that maybe they're having a conversation with each other. And I thought to myself, how sad would that be that they're tapping on a screen rather than actually talking to each other, because they don't know how to interact anymore. It's horrible.
That has been the biggest thing that I have found within this time doing counseling. I'm finding that a lot of my younger clientele in the ages of 16 to 25 are having a very hard time connecting when you have face-to-face conversations. When we went from being virtual back into the actual office, a lot of them was having a very hard time functioning. I had to like walk somebody through with, it's okay, this is what I'm gonna look like, this is what I have on, so they would know who they're looking for, because they were scared that they would have to interact with someone that they were not ready to have a conversation with. Another person explained to me that they like to have the life kind of scripted. They don't like answering phones because they enjoy being able to think about what they're going to say before they say it. And to me, I think back to the first day of kindergarten. For me, I've been always social. So I'm like, yes, I get to talk to everybody. You know, that's been like my thing. And I think back to now, these babies don't really have that. They don't know what it's like to be excited to get out and do and go play. And now it's really showing up in these young adults that are now stepping out into this world that's saying, we want you to interact, but in different ways that some you're truly not comfortable in.
They are my people.
I love that.
If you're hearing this and that message resonates with you, you are my people. I am here for you. This is what I do.
What are some of the signs? Because I know for a lot of parents during this time, they were saying, well, I'm not really sure what I'm looking for. You know, I just think that my baby's shy or my baby's a little timid. What are some of the signs parents can look for when you talk about social awkwardness?
Well, we all feel a little social awkwardness, right?
Yes.
I mean, even someone like you who's super outgoing, you just sit with the discomfort and say, I may feel discomfort, but I feel called to do this anyway.
Right.
Now, my wife is a very private person.
Oh.
Obviously, I'm if you had to come up with an adjective for me, bashful would probably never make the list, but anywhere about, you know, for the first 1,000 adjectives. But that doesn't mean that I'm social. I'm just outgoing.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay, please. I was going to ask you, share the difference, because you said your wife is private. You said that you're social, but, you know, not, you know, you're outgoing, but maybe not as you want to be. So what's the difference?
Well, it's kind of like, you ever sat next to that person in church who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket?
Yep.
I'm that person, right? I'm just because I can't sing doesn't mean that I won't sing. The same is true socially. I mean, I was willing to talk to anybody, but I was one of those people that didn't read social cues.
Mm.
Especially in groups. I didn't have a big problem one-on-one having a conversation with people, but I was one of those people that didn't read group dynamics. And it cost me job opportunities. I mean, because I was that guy that would say the right thing at the wrong time or the wrong thing at exactly the perfect time. I was that guy that people go, did he really just say that? I was that guy. Okay. And I've figured a bunch of this stuff out now, but it's not something that was intuitive to me. I had to learn to read people. Facial expressions, you know, I just said something that interested you and you did two things. You moved toward your screen and you turned your head so you could put your ear closer to the microphone, right?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. You didn't do it on purpose, but unless you're looking for signs like that, you wouldn't see it. So you're interested, right? You just did a triple head nod. So you just said, okay, keep going, right? But if I said something that you didn't like, you probably would cross your arms and you probably sit back, right? Just, you would move away.
Oh, okay. I need to get into that now.
But I didn't see those things. And some of it's crazy stuff that I learned. You know, the next time you go to a group event,
mm-hmm.
and you're people watching.
Yes, that's my favorite thing.
Okay, so watch what happens when two people meet each other, right? One or two things will happen. They'll be interested and they'll face each other. Mm-hmm. Or one of them will want to go somewhere else, even though they haven't actually disengaged yet, but watch their feet, because they will actually point their feet where they want to go next.
Whoa. Okay. This isn't okay.
It's stuff like this that interests me. But, you know, one of the things I had to learn was how to have a good conversation.
Talk about that a little deeper.
Well, a lot of people, okay, let's be real. You didn't ask me how the weather was or what traffic was like today when you wanted to have a conversation with me before we went live, right?
Right.
Tell me about you.
Tell me about me.
No,
I'm interviewing you here.
Yeah, you said, tell me about you. Well, here's part of the thing that we miss, right? In order to be interesting, you must first be interested.
Ah, okay.
But if you ask something out of the ordinary, hey, are you working on anything interesting? What amazing thing happened to you today? If you ask questions like these, you actually drag people's brain out of autopilot and they wake up.
Okay.
That's how we build good interactions. But you have to have a plan for that. Especially if you're someone who tends to be shy or someone who isn't someone who would normally go out and seek conversation, but you never know. I met someone amazing today.
Wow. Very cool.
Because we were willing to have a conversation, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You
so
said
how many
something
people,
a little earlier.
How many people who feel disenfranchised or lonely feel that way because they don't know how to have a great conversation with someone who may be the person of their lifetime?
Wow, I see this going way deeper, because I see this being in spaces that not just working with kids or young adults, I see this in the area of dating. I mean, because literally there are people who might be great socially in other areas, but when you say, okay, I'm not going to have you speak to someone of the opposite sex, they didn't freeze.
Well, it's different. That's different too, right? There's a whole new dynamic there.
Yes.
Just like there's a science about how to have eye contact and state interest without being a creep.
Yeah, that does help.
But people who don't know better don't do better. Mel Robbins says that, right? When we know better, we do better.
Right, we do. But let's go back for a second. You mentioned about having a plan to be social. What does that plan look like?
Well, I mean, you have to be willing to engage other people, but okay, you know, do I have something that I want to talk about just to be different, right?
Okay.
I drive my wife crazy when we go out to dinner because, you know, the waitress will ask me, how are you? And I'll say, you know, if I were any better, I'd be in trouble. and waitresses look at me and my wife just shakes her head. She's like, people don't think like that anymore. People are looking for a one word answer and looking to move on.
Exactly.
Okay. But you have to be ready to have a conversation. Okay. But things we don't think about when we get together with other people, right? Have you ever noticed when you go into a meeting, the person who's in charge of the meeting, everyone faces towards them?
Yes.
Okay. So why do people not do that when they get together socially? They're too busy looking down or being distracted or doing something else rather than actually facing the person they're talking to.
Okay. That's a new view for it.
But I mean, there's strategies to this. These things matter in job interviews.
Okay.
You know, what do you do with your hands in a job interview? If you put them in your lap, you are mistaken. You want to put them on the table where they can be seen. Because it goes back to the caveman part of our brain that if we can't see people's hands, especially when we first meet them, we're distrusting.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say if you can't see the person's hands is distrusting?
Yes. Why do policemen want to see your hands?
Whoa.
Why do policemen want to see your hands?
I assume it's because they want to make sure there's no weapons or anything in
your hands. Oh, absolutely. But that goes back
to our caveman
part of our brains too, right?
Wow, this is good. Keep going.
This is how we feel comfortable when we meet new people. So when we signed on, the first thing that I did is I smiled, I said hi, and I waved to you.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Right? So we built rapport and connection right away. I showed that I was trusting and trustworthy, right? Mm-hmm. I showed you my hands.
Wow.
So if you meet somebody, right?
Okay.
And they have their hands in their pocket or behind their back, you actually start to feel uncomfortable. What's going on in there? Are they holding something I should be concerned about? And it's not something we do consciously. It just makes us distrusting. It literally goes back to the caveman part of our brains.
What are some other things we can be looking for to help us build a quicker connection with people?
Smile.
Okay.
Smile. But you have to do a real smile. Okay. People know the difference between a real, you know, opposing smile that's not a real smile and a smile. One of the ways you can judge whether someone's actually your friend or a frenemy, right?
Yeah.
If you give someone good news and they give you that fake smile and say, that's great, are they really pulling for you?
They're not pulling for you if they do that.
They are absolutely not, right? So, I mean, just all of these things matter.
So good eye contact, hands being in place, a pleasant smile builds that rapport.
Well, everything is about rapport.
Okay.
Everything in your life is about rapport.
What's been for you your biggest success story?
When I sat down with my last client, I actually took the results of that original disc survey that I did. Because it's a young person that's socially disenfranchised. He actually has Asperger's. And I told him, I don't want you to be me. I don't want you to be anyone but you.
Mm,
and he's someone that struggles with eye contact. And I said, I want to teach you about eye contact, not so that you feel comfortable about it. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to teach you about it because it teaches you a lot about what other people think about you. The way people treat you tells you everything about how they feel about their relationship with you. But I showed him my original this survey where I did horribly, horribly. Like I did okay with my own self-image, and I was a submariner for 26 years. So not being around people wasn't a big deal to me.
Okay.
And I feel pretty comfortable in the space between my ears.
Okay.
But it showed that I didn't have empathy, and I didn't show good social cues to other people. I didn't pick up on them. But I showed him my original results.
Okay.
And then I showed him the one that I took 6 months later after taking a bunch of these classes. And my scores were markedly improved. And I told him, if I can do this, you can do this too.
What I love about the story.
And he teared up.
What I love about your story is that you didn't want him to fit in. You just wanted him to be him. So many times in this world where everybody wants you to follow them and fall in line and conform, you just told him, I'm good with just who you are, the way you are, the way you were made, and the wonderfulness that you have.
God only made one me. Now, a lot of people would probably say that thank God for only making one of me. But I'm really not capable of being anyone other than me.
That's what we want you to be. We want you to be who you are.
We just want to learn to be the best version of ourselves and interact in a positive way with other people.
Wow. I love it.
Well, here's the deal, right? Everybody knows someone who is naturally charismatic. Okay. You just shook your head. You're thinking of someone right now. Right?
I do.
But now if I turn around and ask you, what is charisma?
For that particular person, being able to kind of charm the room. They're that person when you walk in, they're, hey, how you doing, everybody? They're outgoing, they're jumping around. They're really giving you light.
Everyone wants to meet them as soon as they walk in the room and before they even say anything.
Yes.
And then there's the rest of us. What do they have on us? Well, they understand how to be both competent and warm and outgoing. A lot of people are high in one or the other, right? Everyone knows that super smart engineer who is not a people person.
Yes, I do. I know people actually.
Okay, so there's someone that if you have a problem, you will go see them, but they're not really very warm or approachable, but they're very competent. And then
they're amazing at what they do.
What's that?
I said, the people I'm thinking about are amazing at what they do.
Oh, absolutely. But they're not people.
Gotcha.
Right. And then you have this young person who just joined the office fresh out of college, who is super warm, really engaging, wants to be friendly and helpful, but has no idea how to actually do that yet. Mm. So one of them is really competent, but not approachable. And the other one is very warm, but not very competent. Wow. So people who actually are very charismatic are actually high in both.
Okay.
So I'm never going to be that person, but understanding where I fit on the scale will allow me to thrive socially when I'm with either of those groups of people. I don't have to become someone that I'm not. But if I make them feel more comfortable, obviously they want to spend more time with me. All of us are that way, whether we know it or not. But the people that really succeed socially are those people. Now, everybody knows one, and a lot of us work for them. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Because they figured this out really quickly. And then there's the rest of us, and we all want to be more like them. I want to be more like them, but I want to be more like them while being me.
And that's the key. because I don't want to, I don't want a person to be a carbon copy. I'm aging myself a little bit there. I don't want people to be a carbon copy of something. I want them to be them and be them in their happiness, in their space of joy.
Yeah, but people know.
Yeah, you're right about that.
People know. People can see right through you if you're a fraud from a mile away.
Wow. And you know, people don't really, they don't think that way. They figure, well, if I put this together long enough, it won't bother anything. They'll be okay. And I'm like, no. That's how I always say, kids are your best BS detectors. They can tell you what's going on.
Well, I mean, we learn to read body language at a very early age. Are you a mom?
No, but I've raised a whole lot of them. Babies
can actually recognize who's there to help them and learn to read the social cues of other people at 2 days old.
Whoa.
2 days old, they know who mom is and they know where their food is coming from, right?
Yes.
Okay, they know who's there because they have to be there and who's there who wants to be with them. And if you smile at a baby, they light right up.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. They figure this out right away. Now, all of us have that in us. We're just not used to having to use it. So we have to get comfortable doing it again. Okay. That's my mission. I feel called after I discovered this. I don't ever want a regular full-time job again in my life. This is what I want to do. I want to help people escape their social awkwardness. I want to help people thrive with other people in a genuine way.
Very cool. I love it.
It lights me right up.
Yes, it does. And speaking of one who can see you here, I see your light in it.
I love this. I feel called to do it. I mean, a lot of these young people, their inability to deal with others in person really isn't their fault.
Wow.
Well, think
about it. Okay, let's go there deeper. It's not their fault.
Well, have you ever seen The Social Dilemma?
No. Is this a movie?
There's a documentary called The Social Dilemma.
Okay.
So here's what happened. How did Google and Facebook and some of these big tech companies get where they are? Why are their offerings so popular?
Why their particular outlet? Well,
think about it. You post something on Facecrack. Okay, so you get likes, you get hearts, you get emojis, people interact with you, and your phone buzzes to tell you all day long that someone liked that thing that you put up there. And we love this. We actually get a dopamine hit. And dopamine is actually the same chemical that druggies are chasing when they use drugs.
I was just going to say it. Same thing you get with sweets and drugs. Yep, it's the same pieces, same places.
Okay, it's the same
pleasure.
Thing.
It's a now, pleasure.
The problem with it is they've actually hacked into our own brains. So they say that Facebook is free. Mm-hmm. Facebook is not free. Mm-mm. Facebook is selling your time to other people.
Ooh, that's a powerful statement.
That's exactly what they're doing.
That is a powerful statement.
Where do you think these targeted advertisements and stuff come from? Right? Their algorithm actually isn't set up for you to have pleasant interactions with other people. It actually sets up echo chambers and you see things that they know that you're going to agree with. And you're going to, because it's stuff that you've engaged in given your time to previously. So, you know, let's not do politics because that would be a sucky way to get into this conversation. But think about it. During the last election, people were like, how can this person be so stupid that they didn't see this news thing? Well, in Facebook, you wouldn't see it unless it was something that you had already agreed with.
Yeah.
Confirmation bias, right? They feed us more things that reaffirm the opinion that we already have. And it separates us. So they took the smartest engineers on earth. Mm-hmm. And rather than actually doing something like finding a cure for cancer, they set off on a mission to go make money. Mm. By getting other people to buy your time. Now think about it. Some of these people spend hours a day thinking that the relationships that they make in social media are real. But none of those people are the person you can turn to when something bad actually happens and you need help.
That's a whole word right there. That'll preach. That's a whole word.
I mean, 25 years ago, that's what our family and our neighbors were for.
Yep.
But our neighbors are all wrapped up in this social media garbage now too. So I moved where I am at a couple of years ago, and I know who my neighbors are, but I really don't have a friendship with them.
So you've actually seen what it looks like now from a pre and post space of social media.
See, yeah, and it's not young people's fault. They don't know differently. This is how they've grown up. This is what they learned as young people. Mm-hmm. So now, like you said, you have these young people that you're turning out, going to find jobs, and you want them to go interact with people. And it's literally like learning a foreign language to them.
How can people get connected with you so that they can get this? Because, I mean, you've dropped so many gems and power statements in this last section that, yeah, you've blown my mind with this one. And I don't get mine blown often, but you did a good job.
Well, I'm coming from a place of service. I want to help other people. I don't want people to not figure this out until they're in their 50s like it took me. I mean, not being able to interact with people, it cost me jobs. It cost me relationships. I hurt people's feelings because I was that wrecking ball who had no tact. Mm. You know, God bless my wife because she really has a lot in common with Job. Mm-hmm. But I feel called to do this now that I've figured it out. And especially now, where everyone is suffering. It's not just young people, but young people are the people, young people and budding entrepreneurs,
yes,
are the people that I really want to spend time with. But you can find me at my website is escapingsocialawkwardness.com. If you want to drop me an email, I'm hello@escapingsocialawkwardness.com. I'm here.
Well, I'm just so glad you took the time to come and sit with us today, that you have given me such good information and shared with the rest of us what this looks like and that you're not alone in this. And I mean,
that's the biggest thing that the deceiver wants us to think, right? Mm-hmm. Call him the devil, call him the deceiver, call him whatever you want. What he really wants is to isolate us from everybody else and make us feel alone. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. You're not.
You know, the message of the church is one of inclusion. Pushing people away really isn't the same as making them feel alone, right?
No.
The loneliest day of my life, I was surrounded by people.
Wow.
I called home on Christmas Day when I was stationed in Hawaii, and I was a really young man. And someone invited me over for Christmas dinner. And it was 85 degrees in Honolulu. But I called my parents' house in Nashua, New Hampshire that day. And my family was there. My high school friends had come to visit. And they were all at my parents' house. And I was in a room full of people and felt completely alone. That's really kind of what social isolation feels like, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly what it feels like.
I don't want anyone to suffer that ever again if I can help it.
On that note, y'all, I have to wrap. This was good. This was good. I felt this. Like this, all in my, y'all know, Mashana and I, I felt it. So listen, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley podcast, where helping others is the name of the game. And on this podcast, we push purpose, personal growth, and positivity. Y'all stay tuned. We have more to come.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.